This is coming from Mark chapter 5, of all places. Mark chapter 4, we'll look at it here in a minute, about the storm. These disciples made it across the sea with Jesus in the boat with them. So let's pick up. It's going to be a little bit of reading here, but I want us to get the whole story. The first few verses here of Mark chapter 5, and I'm reading from the New King James. Here's what it says. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he, speaking of Jesus, said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So the demons begged Jesus, or begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. It says there was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Now this is awesome here. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion. Look at him now, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And it says, and they were afraid. The title of my message this morning is taken from verse 1. And here's my title, it's a question. What is waiting on the other side? What is waiting on the other side for us as individuals and corporately? Like many of you, I try to always begin each new year with great hope and anticipation. Many of us start our diets on January the 1st, or at least January the 2nd. Some of us get pretty far along, and others would not so well. You know, for many preachers and especially pastors, as they prepare to enter a new year, they will share the vision, their vision of what they feel they've received from the Lord for the church body. First of all, in hindsight, if we look back to the last, let's just say the last 4 years, from 2020 all the way up now to 2023, there's no way that we could have predicted the things that we have seen. Going from 2020 forward, in many parts of the country, if you remember, the year began with torrential downpours, especially across from the east, from the west over to the east. And it seemed like it rained every day for 2 or so months. And then in late January of 2020 and early February, We began to hear news reports of a new virus that was spreading all over the world. And in March, we know that that virus began to spread here in America. And by mid-March 2020, our world had been turned upside down. People were out of work. Businesses had to close. Churches were shutting down. And fear gripped the land. The terms COVID and social distancing and quarantine, how many know, became a regular part now of our vocabulary back then. And if you remember, we did have to deal with mask mandates and mandatory 6-foot separation in public places. You go to Walmart and it was one-way aisles. You go that way and come this way. And limited numbers of people were allowed in crowds. And pastors and church leaders were forced to improvise. And I read where many had to cancel their nurseries and their children's churches and Sunday school. And church service times and methods were even modified across the world. And not really knowing what was ahead in the fall of 2019, Brother North and I had returned from Tampa, a wonderful week there at a conference at Rodney Howard Brown's. And Brandon came to me and he said, "Dad," he says, "I really do feel like we need to consider getting online using Facebook and YouTube." And of course we did. And I did, admittedly, with much reservation. I don't like a lot of change, and I enjoyed speaking to just you guys here on Sunday morning. And then, of course, now we know it was God's plan, and He prepared us for what was to become our online services. And now we find that these media outlets are the most wonderful tool now to get the gospel message out. Isn't God good? He already knew what we needed to do. Sadly, during the COVID crisis, we saw church family and extended personal family members and longtime friends and co-workers pass away, and many were left in hospitals, so sad, and in nursing homes because their family members were not allowed to be with them. Funerals that in normal times would have been standing room only, but due to the pandemic, only the immediate family was present, if that at all. By now, most of us know someone who has died as a result of COVID. And isn't it amazing how they can predict now when a deadly virus is going to return? Have you noticed they seem to come only in election year? Every 4 years. And they're already telling us how bad it's going to be next year. You wonder why? Because of the mail-in ballots. Okay. We have also seen an increase in racial tension in our country. We watched on the news as riots broke out in the cities. We saw monuments toppled and, sadly, history erased right before our eyes. Listen, no matter how bad that monument represented an era, we need to remember it where we don't duplicate that. And that's our history, good or bad. Windows were shattered and buildings were burned to the ground in various cities. And in the summer and fall of the year, we saw record numbers of hurricanes and tropical depressions. And then our country has endured, contested elections and great political turmoil. And now with Israel at war with Hamas and others that surround them, we have seen a rise in anti-Semitism. That being the hatred of the Jewish people. And what's so sad, so much of that is being birthed and stirred up on our college campuses where our youth are being, their minds are being twisted They don't even really know the truth behind all of that. And these are just the things that we have made that have made the evening news. And aside then from the nationwide and worldwide problems, yes, we have all dealt with personal issues that we did not see coming. Some have lost their jobs. Your personal finances now are not what you expected them to be a year ago. And some dealing with family issues, some dealing with relational issues, and not to mention health issues and receiving reports from your doctors that you did not want nor even expected. Many dealing with strained finances, and now we see Christmas is coming up. Yet with all the worries and with all the problems that we deal with, hear me now, there are still many things that the child of God can rejoice in, even in times such as this. We can rejoice, number one, because God is still on His throne. We can rejoice because Jesus is still saving lost souls. We can rejoice because lives are still being changed. We can rejoice because, guess what? This world is not our home. It's not our final resting place. And we can rejoice because Jesus is coming back someday very soon. And I personally would like for it to be sooner than later. As we prepare then to enter December and prepare to come to the end of the year, there are those folks who are already now anxiously awaiting New Year's Day. And they have it in their minds that when that ball drops in New York City, that a great reset will occur. And guess what? We can start all over brand new. Well, I'm afraid they're going to be disappointed. You see, our God is infinite in His wisdom. And He has a perfect plan for you and me, for His people. He has a perfect plan for this world and for His kingdom. And I'm pretty sure that God does not celebrate New Year's Day that the world celebrates. There's no way for us to know everything that is waiting for us in 2024. Things could get better. Things could get much worse. The reality is that we do not know what lies ahead. Listen, the Lord's disciples found themselves in a similar situation. These men had left everything behind to follow Jesus. And as a result, they had seen some very amazing things. They had seen countless miracles. They had seen the blind receive their sight, the deaf made to hear, the lame made to walk, the mute to speak. Lepers were cleansed and demons were cast out. They had heard Jesus teach with great power and authority. There's no way they could have known then all the things that they would have experienced as they continued to walk with Jesus. From our text, we see Jesus instructs them to get in a boat and go to the other side. They were on a journey that would take them over across the Sea of Galilee. They did not know what was waiting for them when they arrived. In fact, there was a moment in time when they were not sure they were going to even make it to the other side. When you read back in chapter 4 of Mark, it says this, "And there was also a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was now full. And He was in the hinder part," speaking of Jesus, "of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, 'Master, carest not that we perish?'" And so we find in the midst of the storm, Jesus rises up and He rebukes the wind and He speaks to the sea, "Peace, be still." And guess what happened? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Sister North sings it so wonderful and so right on. He's the master of the wind and He's the master of the sea. And in much the same way, listen, we are about to cross over into another year. As in all the years past during our lifetime, coming December 31st at midnight, we still will transition then from 2023 to 2024, 1 year to the next. We do not know what is waiting for us on the other side of 2023, but Jesus does. And if we belong to Him, listen now, we can face whatever 2024 brings with great peace, knowing that He will be there with us. In Mark chapter 5, we find some things that we will most certainly encounter in 2024. And so for just a little while longer this morning, I want to look at what I believe we could call some truths. And we could say then that there are three particular areas, and I want to cover them, that one may encounter on the other side. Here they are. First of all, we could say there is desperation on the other side. And praise God, there is also going to be and will be deliverance on the other side. And better yet, there is delight on the other side. Desperation, deliverance, and delight. So let's begin then by examining the fact that there is desperation on the other side. Desperation is defined then as a state of despair, typically one which results in rash or extreme behavior. Have you ever seen someone in despair and they make irrational decisions? That's why it's best we need to wait before we make sudden decisions concerning our lives. The turmoil, the unrest, and the violence then that we have seen in the past few years is a manifestation of the fact that people are desperate. We live in the world that is consumed by sin. Can you say amen? Amen. And things will not get any better until the Lord Jesus returns and begins to rule and reign over all the earth. Until then, certain things will be an issue. Again, from verses 2 through 5, it illustrates the fact that depravity will be an issue. Depravity will be an issue. Here Mark tells us of a man who was totally depraved. We could describe him as a maniac. He was possessed by many demons. He lived in the tombs among the rotting corpse of the deceased. Often men had seized him and bound him with ropes and even chains and shackles. And their attempts to contain him were futile. This man then, as a result of demonic possession, possessed supernatural strength. He would simply just break free from his bonds and he would continue his reign of terror. He spent his days running naked through the tombs. He screamed and he cried out and cut himself with jagged stones. This is a great illustration then of the depravity that is seen in lost men and women in our days. They are consumed by sin and evil, and they possess no hope, and they possess no joy, and they possess no peace. They're completely depraved and live lives of wickedness and rebellion. And whether we know it or not, they are under the control of Satan or under the control of evil forces. When 2024 arrives, we will still live in a divided country. Immorality will run rampant. The racial unrest will likely remain and possibly increase. And political turmoil will be a factor, as it will be a presidential election year, if there really is going to be an election at all. Violence will still fill the land. Issues such as abortion and homosexuality and drug addiction, all of these issues will still be prevalent. As God's people and as the Scripture shows us, we will find ourselves, as Ephesians 6 says, wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm here to tell you today, there is spiritual wickedness in very high places. In 2024, we can expect lost people to continue doing what lost people do. I don't want to discourage anybody, but these are the things that we know that are waiting on the other side. Unfortunately, just as we did not know all of the things that we would encounter just this past year, there are many unknowns awaiting for us. Desperation is waiting on the other side of the new year. And that's because we have entered the end times before Jesus returns for His bride. Yet, I'm here to tell you this morning that all is not lost. I have some good news. It is true. It is also true that there is deliverance on the other side. Jesus and His disciples encountered depravity on the other side of the sea. But this manifestation of evil was no match for the Lord Jesus. He had power over spiritual wickedness back then, and He has power over it today. And listen to me, as Holy Spirit-filled fire baptized believers, so do we. And if you're not fire baptized, you need to get on fire. Amen. When Jesus stepped off of the boat, the man who was possessed saw Him and ran from a distance, and he ran, the Bible says, and worshiped Him. Again, the Bible says the demons that controlled him, they began to speak. And they said with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you thee by God that thou torment me not." Listen, the demons literally began to pray to the Lord. They did this because Jesus had told them to come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Jesus asked went ahead and asked him, what was his name? And the demon replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, we know that a Roman legion back then consisted of about 6,000 or more soldiers. And that does not mean that there were actually 6,000 demons in him, but it does illustrate there was a whole lot. And that's demonstrated by the fact that they entered 2,000 pigs when Jesus cast them out of this man. Amen? So we see unclean spirits, they went out and they entered into the swine and they ran over the cliff and were drowned. And when this happened, those who were feeding those swine ran into the city and they reported what had happened. The people from the city came to see themselves, the Bible says. And when they arrived, they were amazed by what they saw. The man that had previously been tormented by the demons, the very man who had spent his days among the dead, naked, screaming, crying, and cutting himself with stones, had been delivered. And again, the Bible says when they found him, guess what? He was not that way. He was sitting there next to Jesus, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. And sadly, rather than rejoicing over the great miracle that Jesus had performed, these people rejected him and asked this man to leave the region that they were in. So regardless of the fact that the majority rejected Jesus, at least one man was completely transformed by the mighty power of God. And the good news is that Jesus can transform you and me and our loved ones just as He did this man in the Bible. And when He does it, guess what? People will be amazed. Whew, I knew what they were. But look at them now.
Amen.
And if you only saw Brother Charlie back then, that long hair, driving that fine car. But oh my gosh, he's still driving fine cars, but look at him now. Oh my gosh. Listen, people will be amazed. The people from the city may not have believed in Jesus, but they could not deny then that a change had taken place in this man's life. Our loved ones may not turn to Christ as a result then of our testimony, but listen, they will know that a change has taken place once they meet the Master. Once we meet the Master. I don't know all that's waiting for us in 2024, but I do know that there will be desperation as it was then, because we have entered the end times. And yet, understand, desperation does not have to affect us or touch us as believers. My kind of desperation is when I am desperate for the Lord God, for everything. I want to be desperate for Him. Amen. If we believe God's word, listen, it tells us that we can declare ourselves over ourselves and our families that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And as Psalm 91 shows us, we don't have to live in fear. Can you say that? We do not have to live in fear. Especially of what's ahead. Especially what comes the new year. And we can declare for ourselves and for our family that no plague will come nigh our dwelling. And as we plead the blood of Jesus over us, then those things, you've got to know, cannot cross the bloodline. The door is shut unless we open that door to fear. Look at somebody, tell them, shut the door. Keep it closed. So yes, desperation will be all around us. And yes, there will be deliverance. And finally, we see that there's also delight on the other side. And that is the joy that we are able to experience in the Lord Jesus Christ, which cannot be found anywhere else. In spite of all the problems that we may face this next year, we can live with great joy and delight, and we can have a peace that passes all understanding. How can you be so at peace right now with everything going on in your family? Because I've got the peace of the Lord. I can make it through what's going. He's got my back. He's already in my tomorrows working. I can get up in the morning with peace and joy and delight. Listen, the problems that we will face will all be temporary. But our relationship with the Savior, guess what, is eternal. And no matter how bad things get, we will have the privilege to walk with Jesus each and every day. There are many things then that we are able to be a part of when we walk with the Lord Jesus. And this passage shows us that because of our relationship with Him, watch this now, we have the opportunity to see God work around us and through us. Sister North talked about that this morning. Once this man met Jesus, he was filled with delight. His life had been immediately and completely and eternally transformed. Because of what Jesus had done for him, we find, guess what? He wanted to remain with the Lord. He wanted to remain with Him. This man so desired to get on that boat and follow after Jesus. He wanted to become a disciple of Christ. And that is our natural response for all of those who really meet the Savior. This man had been had seen God's hand at work in his own life. The disciples had the opportunity to just see many of the miracles at the hand of Jesus. And when we walk with him, we will also have that opportunity as well. When you spend time with Jesus, you can see God at work all around you. Because you're focused on him. You're not focused on all that mess out there. All the chaos going on around us. You can see his work in creation. You can see his work in nature. You can see his work of redemption. And you can see his works of grace and mercy. And not only then can we see these things, we can experience his power in our own lives. Again, I can't tell you what 2024 will bring, but I can guarantee you that we will see God at work. We will also have the opportunity to hear God's words. With all of the adjectives then that are used to describe this man in this passage, there's no way for us to comprehend just how bad his situation was. But his transformation is abundantly clear when you read this story. He went from living with the dead to talking with the Lord. Now that's a pretty good transformation. Amen. Living with the dead to talking with the Lord. And I kept thinking of the lame man who was healed at the Gate Beautiful. Was it Paul and Silas who prayed over him? And what did the Bible say? He got up from there walking and leaping and praising God. There was definitely a transformation there. Because of the work that Jesus had done in his life, he now had access to God in the flesh. And we have the very same privilege. Because of the work then that Jesus did at Calvary, we have access to God, to the very throne room of God. When Jesus died, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And this veil separated the holy place from the holy of holies. The high priest would enter into this holy place once a year. And it was there that he would make an offering for the sins of the people. And the veil then was rent to show that the privilege of the high priest was now available to all of man. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, we now have access to the throne room ourselves 24/7. Amen. We can call him up. Amen. And guess what? He promises not to put us on hold. Dial 1 for Spanish. Dial 2 for English. No, he's going to speak your language. He's going to speak Galen's language. Amen. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we now have access to God. Anytime, anywhere, when we cry out to God with confidence that he will hear us. And not only will he hear us, guess what? He speaks to us. When we spend time then in the Scripture, we are able then to hear the precious words of our Heavenly Father. Everything we need to know is written on the pages of this Holy Word. And this former demoniac was now communing with the Savior. And we can do the very same thing on a daily basis. And this is the only way then that we will be able to know his will for our lives on the other side. You want to know what's going on? You stay in communion with him. And like we've said so many times, if you're in communion with him and you're keeping that communication line open, get up one morning. You don't need to go to work. You need to stay home today for whatever reason. Or you don't need to go that direction. You go this direction today. And you obey that little voice. And listen, once he reveals his will to us, then we can and we should do what he tells us to do. Amen. Be obedient. Listen and obey. And this leads us to the final truth that I'd like for us to consider. We can see God's work, we can hear God's word, and we have the opportunity to do God's will for our lives and through our lives. Though this man wanted to travel with the Lord Jesus, Jesus had another mission for him. Whereas in the past, Jesus had told others to remain silent concerning their miracles that he had performed, he told this man to go out and share his testimony with others. Jesus told him what to do, and guess what? He went and he did what he told him to do. And just like this man, we have been commanded to go and tell others what Jesus has done for us. Can I just tell you that sharing your story and sharing your testimony of how God saved you and what He did for you and He'll do it for others should never be considered a burden. Amen. Or a dread. Oh, I just dread telling my story. No. Be happy about it. It should be a blessing. It should be an opportunity to see God's work through us. Somebody's not heard your story. Well, I just went to church for 50 years. I was raised in church. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was in church, but... Whew. Furthermore, guess what? It's a privilege. It's a great privilege. God could have chosen many other means of reaching people. And I'm almost through. He could have spoken from heaven. He could have had the angels testify of salvation plans. He could have written a message in the clouds. But in His infinite wisdom, He chose to give us the privilege of being His ambassadors to a lost and dying world. That's a privilege, y'all. And if you've ever led someone to the Lord, you know that there is no greater joy than being a part of this process. Brother Galen, would you come on down? Or come on up, brother, either one. Come on up. Please understand that in the coming days and in the weeks and even months, we're going to encounter multitudes of lost people in 2024. And it is God's will that we bear much fruit for Him. Can you say amen? Amen? Let's determine then that we will go and we will do what we've been called to do. It might be to the waitress or to the waiter. It might be at Dollar General. Oh my goodness. This man shared his testimony, and the Bible says that all men did marvel. It doesn't say that all men turned to Jesus. But those who had known Him before knew without a doubt that something was different about that man. This is not my notes, but what do you want to harvest in your life? If you need friends, guess what? You don't just go into the store and not speak to anybody. You don't speak to the cashier. You just come back in your car and go home. Go through the drive-through and you place your order. You don't say hi or how you doing. Or doesn't matter how they respond. I read this story the other day. You may have seen the story on social media where the grown son took his elderly dad, to the bank. And so he sat out in the car. Took forever for his dad to come back. So when they got back home, he got the phone out. He said, Dad, we don't have to do this anymore. Let me show you how to do your banking online. His dad lived by himself. He said, Dad, you can order the groceries. You don't have to go to Walmart and face all the crowd. And his dad said, why would I want to do that? I'm all by myself. I know the guard at the bank. I know the secretary at the bank by name. I know the check teller at the bank. They're my friends. I know my barber by name. I know the butcher by name. I know the store clerk, the cashier, the meat department. I know them all by name. They're my friends. He harvested a harvest of friends. Why? Because he was a friend. Just as Jesus delivered this man from the possession of those many demons, he has delivered us from the chains of sin. He has saved us from our sin. And guess what? He has transformed our lives. I'm not the way I used to be. I don't think the way I used to think. Praise God. I'm still a work in progress. Amen. But guess what? We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Whew. He's brought us from death into life. He's made a way for us to enjoy abundant life here and an eternal life in heaven. What he has done for us, listen, he will do for others. 2023 alone has been a difficult year for many connected with this church. And I don't know everything that is waiting for us on the other side in 2024. But I do know that with any desperation that may come knocking at your door, there will be deliverance standing there waiting. Deliverance will also be standing there waiting. And guess what? Delight will be there also, ready to overtake you. In 2024, I believe we will have the opportunity then to see God at work, hear God's words when he speaks to us, and then be able to do God's will. So I encourage you this morning to be like those disciples and put your trust in him. Climb aboard the boat. Why? Because the anchor is in the boat. Praise God. That song was so on time. And guess what? With the anchor in the boat, you can head to the unknown and not live in fear. And if you're with Jesus, then you have peace and assurance that no matter what is waiting on the other side. Let's all stand together in Jesus' name. Oh, praise God. I can shout right now, Brother Gary. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I could almost do a Chuck Berry. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I just thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that you promised to be with us through everything we go through. Lord, you may not deliver us from certain things, but you promised you're going to be there right with us, walking through the fire, walking through the flood. And you've proven yourself faithful to so many in this body. Through the years, you've been there for us. And Lord, in turn, we love you and we serve you. And Lord, we want you to work through us in the coming weeks and months and the following year. Whatever comes on the other side, we thank you that you will be there with us, and that if we'll open our heart to you and commune with you, you're going to use us for your glory. Be able to do your will and walk in obedience to your voice, and we will be victorious no matter what comes our way. So I thank you today for New Life Ministries. I thank you for this church family. Lord, you've brought us through a many a thing. And Lord, you're going to take us all the way. We want to complete your purpose in our lives. So Lord, I thank you today. We're going to give you the glory. I speak blessings over your people today as we go about our week, God. You bring us back Wednesday night. Bring us back Sunday as we gather together again. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. One other thing.